Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Ian McNamara. Ian, it's great to have you on, man. I appreciate you being here. Can you tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Marrow?
Sure. So I'm in Western Massachusetts, and Marrow is a company I started. I've been working on it for a little over a year now, basically trying to bring a natural approach to athletic apparel, as well as circular approach, which is basically that, you know, you have the clothing that you wear right now is typically disposed of when you're done with it. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, create a process in which, you know, you send it back to us and we either, you know, turn it like in a closed loop process into new clothing our brand would sell, or if that can't be done, we upcycle it, or at the very least, you know, compost it, or, you know, so we're making sure that everything is either recyclable or biodegradable and using natural materials to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that. And obviously it's a pretty novel product, at least the initial, you know, product launch I saw on the website. Yeah. And also I love the term anatomical socks. I think it's so like hard hitting and like perfectly explains what it is. But no, that's awesome. And I guess, like, you know, as you've been doing this product development, and what kind of got you interested in doing, you know, something in this space? And obviously I usually like to ask, you know, what are you trying to do a little bit differently with this brand, but obviously from the sustainability side and also just the general, like, what the product is in and of itself is very unique. So what kind of led you to, you know, this product specifically as you went through product development with different ideas to do something a little bit different in the athletic apparel space?
So I played sports my entire life. I played baseball in college, and that was kind of the turning point in terms of, you know, starting to understand like the scale of these companies like Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, and just how much, you know, synthetic material they use. It's their entire product lines are synthetic, and starting to learn that that was, you know, really plastic basically. And so I got into changing out all of my clothes from, you know, once I finished playing, from the polyester synthetic materials into, you know, more natural materials like cotton. And then as I went further along, I realized, you know, there are differences between cotton and organic cotton and that sort of thing. But about a year ago, I came across toe socks and had started, you know, wearing barefoot shoes a couple of years before that, and realized that the toe socks really allow you to take advantage of that, the barefoot shoes, because the toe box in those shoes is a lot wider. And so you need to be able to move your toes around. That's kind of the point. But socks, you know, in the, you know, traditional sense, still kind of push your toes together. And unfortunately, a lot of the products on the market for toe socks were made from synthetic materials. So I basically, you know, cleared out my entire closet of synthetic materials, except for this new kind of sock that I was wanting to wear. So basically decided from there to create it myself.
You know, it's amazing. And what was your kind of process like with, obviously, you know, going through the R&D and the product development and, you know, thinking about having somebody that can manufacture these things? Since you did want to use organic cotton and do things kind of, you know, a better way than maybe what's more traditionally done, did you have any issues or like trouble kind of, you know, finding the right partner? Can you tell me a little bit about that process of finding like a good manufacturing partner to do things the right way for you?
So at the beginning, I honestly didn't know too much. I was just new to it. So I was telling them, you know, can you blend wool and organic cotton with Tencel and all this different stuff? But then realized, you know, simplifying it was better. And so we ended up with 95% organic cotton and 5% spandex. I mean, we're working towards trying to even, you know, reduce the spandex even further, or look into, you know, natural alternatives for that as well. But basically for a while, you know, I started reaching out to suppliers last April, 2023. And a lot of them were kind of just, you know, saying that this can't be done. It has to include, you know, a certain percentage of nylon or polyester. And so just really went back and forth until I found someone that was willing to do what I wanted them to do. And even though they, you know, were kind of advising me against it, I just said, you know, oh, let's just try it. And they came out sort of exactly how I wanted them to. So yeah, it's really just a matter of communication and finding the right partner. And that takes time. And I think that that's where I could have just sort of given up, but I just kept pushing. So
yeah, no, it makes sense. And I appreciate your perspective on that, because obviously, you know, a lot of folks that are getting into an entrepreneurial venture for the first time and doing something like apparel, there's usually always some kind of sustainability angle with it. I mean, it's something that, you know, our generation believes in, I think, a little bit more than maybe some older generation. So it's important, I think, for anybody listening who maybe be interested or is just starting off in this space as well, to know that it is probably going to be a little bit of an extra challenge, but to just have that persistence. So I appreciate you sharing a little bit about your experience with that. And then also, I suppose, I saw on the website was a launch deal. So when exactly did you launch the initial product on the website? Was it very recent?
Yeah, so it was actually a week ago.
Amazing. Yeah, this is great timing. Yeah.
I had collected an email list basically all from Twitter and decided to give all those people for sticking with us for a few months because production was delayed and delayed and delayed. And then, you know, I thought it would come in April and it finally came in the middle of May, but decided to give those people 24 hours ahead of time to have access and then launched to the public on Friday of last week. So it's been just about a week.
That's awesome, man. Congrats, by the way, for the launch. That's amazing. Thank you. So recent. Thank you. And then I guess I was going to ask, like, well, I guess what your like general kind of go to market strategy was in the beginning. So it sounds like you're doing mostly, you know, direct to consumer at this time. Is that kind of where you, you know, foresee for the foreseeable future, kind of selling that way direct to folks online through e-commerce?
Yep. I think that's going to be huge, at least in the beginning, just because toe socks, for example, are a really niche product. So you're not going to find those at Dick's or, you know, another sporting goods store. It's going to have to be people who are looking for that. At some point, probably pretty soon, we're going to put those on Amazon just because there are, you know, a lot of people on Amazon looking for toe socks. It's actually a pretty popular product there. That'll give us, you know, more access to people that aren't on social media or on Twitter. And so that's part of the plan. As we branch out into other things, I think also, you know, reaching out to, you know, local, not necessarily in my area, but elsewhere, you know, kind of small independent, you know, sporting goods stores will also be something that I'm going to look into as well.
You know, it definitely makes sense. I could definitely see this on the shelves of like, even like a bike store, but like, you know, these like hundreds of thousands of towns across the country that are in these kind of like, you know, rail trail biking towns. There's always like a go-to spot. I could definitely see it in things like that for sure. Yeah. And I guess I suppose, you know, when you think about just going back to kind of like the nature of the product and the fact that it's able to be recycled and that you use it for kind of like upcycling purposes to like either go into other things or resell them or whatever you might be doing. How do you kind of take on that consumer education side of that to make sure people know that this is an option and like is actually at the forefront of the purpose of the product, that it should be kind of recycled and done things that way? Like, what's kind of the expectation from a customer when maybe, you know, it gets old, something happens to it, it rips, whatever happens. What is kind of the process from there for the consumer to make sure they're getting it back into the hands of somebody who's going to do that upcycling or recycling stage of the product?
So I realized sort of early on that we would have to kind of take care of it all ourselves and incentivize the customers pretty strongly to send them back. So we're going to pay for the return shipping and give them 10% store credit. So, you know, imagine you buy a pair of socks right now, it's $10 for five. So you send us back $10 each for five. So you get $50. You send us back those socks, which we pay for, and then we'll give you $5 back. So you've got a decent amount to put towards your next pair or two. So that's kind of the approach. As we get into items that are a little bit more higher priced, I think it's going to be super helpful because the lifetime cost to the consumer is actually, you know, 10% less than what it might be if they had bought it from another brand. And they also get to know that they're supporting something that is a circular process, which there are some really good brands doing that in kind of general apparel, you know, fashion sort of stuff, but athletic apparel is a bit harder to pull it off in. And so excited to be kind of trying to lead the way on that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And for sure, I grew up playing sports, so I also played baseball in college. It's funny you mentioned that. As you know, this is kind of the impetus behind why you're doing what you're doing. Almost everything in athletic apparel is disposable and like a quick turnaround disposable too, typically. So, and then how do you kind of grapple with, obviously, so the incentivizing part makes sense. So you do the free return shipping, the 10% off for the next order. How do you kind of take to letting people know like, okay, like this is something that you can do? Do you kind of send like a little, like almost like a sales letter, or like, how do you do like that side of it, kitchen, of like, this is exactly what we're going to be doing with it. This is how it's better for the planet than what other folks are doing. How do you kind of convey that message to somebody who like places an order with you?
So I, at the start, our website's very basic. So I have a page describing the process. Eventually I'm going to put a contact form on there, but we've launched for a week, so I hope no one needs to send anything back yet. But yeah, I think the big thing we're going to go with is, like, for example, if you buy a Tesla, it will show you, you know, the cost, but then also like the gas savings, like what you would have spent if you had a gas car. So trying to play around with that kind of narrative about, this is $50, but the actual cost is $45, you know, that sort of thing. I think this is going to become a lot more common in the next few years. So still trying to figure out ways to educate, you know, our customer base, and not really sure either, you know, what, like, of all the socks we've sold so far, what percentage of them within a year or 2 years or whatever actually get sent back to us. So that's, you know, kind of a ongoing challenge to figure out how to deal with that.
Yeah, no, it always is. And I'll say, a lot of CPG brands that I have on the podcast, you know, that are doing things novel and are kind of trying to do things a little bit more sustainably, that have that kind of like, you know, mission back to it. It is always a challenge. The consumer education portion is really difficult, especially to get that kind of, those kinds of things to stick. So it sounds like you have a good perspective on it though, where, you know, you're just going to kind of take it, see how often people are actually trying to send it back, and just kind of doing some testing that way to figure out how to further incentivize. So that's awesome, man. I'm really happy to hear that. That's, you know, a big part of your business. And I suppose I know I kind of mentioned this before we started the recording here, but one question I do always love to ask everybody that's on the podcast, even though I suppose, you know, I know you just launched a week ago, but I know you've been doing kind of product development and figuring out the logistics for the past year. So if you can go back to before that time when this is still kind of like in your head as an idea, if you give yourself any one piece of advice, if you were to kind of start, you know, that developmental process again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
I think I would just say to just go for it. At the beginning, I kind of took it really slowly because I was unsure about what should the manufacturer be charging me, how many units should I order, and even the amount that I ordered to start felt like a lot when I ordered it. But now, even just a week into selling it, doesn't feel like that much. So, you know, I'm feeling like at some point, you know, in the next month or so, I'll have to start getting, you know, new product in. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, just to be a little bit less unsure of things and have confidence in the idea and in the process, because the response has been great, for particularly since I only have platform I'm pushing out on is 600 followers. So it's really not huge. And relative to that, the response has been pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm probably not surprised to hear that's a pretty common answer that I get to that question. And it's kind of just that old, like that old sales and marketing adage of basically like, if you're not embarrassed by the first product you brought to market, you probably did it too late. But I think it's the same on the logistical side. I mean, like if your first manufacturing deal maybe isn't like, you know, the best deal you're ever going to cut in your life, like you probably waited too long to just get in that relationship and start selling, right? So I think it's good advice. And, you know, after you hear it from, you know, 40 different entrepreneurs on a podcast, when you ask the same question and across industries, whether you've been business for 1 year or 15 years or 20 years, it's not really anecdotal anymore. So I think for anybody listening who is looking to get into a venture project for the first time, it is really good advice. And if you listen to this podcast, you'll see it's a very common answer to that question. So I appreciate your perspective on that. And just want to give you an opportunity as well for anybody listening that might be interested in, you know, checking out the website, placing an order, or maybe getting in touch with you with a potential maybe business opportunity, collaboration. What's the best way to stay in touch with you all?
So we're on Twitter at WearMaro with an underscore. So that's WEAR underscore MARO, and wearmaro.com as well. I know toe socks are a really niche product, but I literally have a shipment on the way for more stuff that kind of appeals to a, you know, general population of people who, you know, are athletes or just want to, you know, stay in shape, go to the gym, run around outside, you know, play basketball, whatever it is. That's kind of the market that we're going to be pushing into over the next few weeks and months. So the goal is to start with a really niche product and then expand. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah, anything you want to mention as far as a new upcoming products? I understand if you don't want to do the announcement here, but anything you do want to mention?
Yeah, so actually something I've been working on pretty hard over the last few months, and it's sort of relevant based on the news that came out a few days ago about the microplastics that they found in humans. So we're going to be releasing underwear that's completely synthetic free, not a single percentage of synthetic. Usually that's pretty difficult because of the waistband. Even on, you know, organic cotton underwear, the waistband is usually made of spandex. So found a solution to not have to do that. And that will be out probably within the next month, month and a half, hopefully by the end of June. So
awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, you know, I just want to say thank you again for coming on, man. I really appreciate your time. I want to wish you the best of luck and continued success in everything you're doing. I think it's really important. Your perspective is obviously super valuable for anybody else that's, you know, interested in either buying more sustainable, you know, options for their clothing, or anybody that also wants to get in this space and, you know, kind of be a part of that revolution. So really appreciate your time and really look forward to staying in touch as well.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. This is actually my first podcast. So
awesome, man. Very well done. Very knowledgeable about, you know, what you're doing and your product. And yeah, man, just keep going. Love what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, everybody.